from last week, and we've got the, and of course from Luke, they've got the five. All of them have got valid reasons. Now we're on to easy stuff. This isn't today. The night share is not a difficult share at all. Just if you get on and set up. So we start off from segment 5, paragraph 5, page of the Hebrew 5 in English. All you have got to have in mind, and you needn't learn it by heart, it's in front of you, to understand tonight's shiur is the two lines above from where we are beginning tonight. The English is, the soul is thus divided into five parts. They are the nefesh, and that, as I explained to you, is the lowest part of all. It is the same, it's the same sort of thing that an animal has. But we are dealing with human beings, and the human being is always different from the animal. So biological life, that it can move, that it can eat, that it can drink, that it can reproduce. These, it's got these faculties, it can feel, it can see, it can hear. That is all through the nefesh. We've got one higher degree than that, and that is the ruach, the spirit. We've got a higher degree than that, and that is the neshama. And when we are coming to the neshama, where we're coming to really, that is real ruchnias, that is real spirituality. Above the neshama is chayo, and above chayo is yedido. Now, these are the family. He takes it, I've been accustomed to take it as the wrappings around the body. Now, he doesn't, the Derech Hashem doesn't take the wrappings around the body, and I think it's better to take it his way. And that is, they are starting from the bottom, you've got the Nefesh, and then higher than the Nefesh is the Ruach, higher than the Ruach is the Neshama, higher than the Neshama is the Chaya, higher than the Chaya is the Yechido. But you will see, he starts from the top. He starts and goes the Yechido, and then the Chayo, the Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. Now, there are two remarks I want to say about this. The first one is that when we speak about Nefesh, the lowest, and the Ruach comes afterwards, and the Neshama comes afterwards, between the Nefesh and the Ruach, there are also things that are taking place. And between the Ruach and the Neshama, there are also things that are taking place. It's not just that it stops here, it starts here. There are things that take place in between. Another thing I want you to understand is that there is a link with all of them. The body is linked to the Nefesh. The Nefesh is linked to the Neshama. The Nefesh is linked to the Ruach. The Ruach is linked to the Neshama. The Neshama is linked to the Chayo, and the Chayo is linked to the Yechido. So, to really get it, it's like this. Everything has got a body and a soul. Whatever we've got, it's got a body and a soul. for example, if we have a rock, the rock has also got a body and a soul. The body of the rock is the particles of dust and of sand, of which constitute the rock. That is the body of the rock. That power that holds it together and makes a rock out of it, that is itself. So we've got, everything has got it. So the body has got a soul, it's the nefesh. And the nefesh has got a soul, it's in the ruach. And the ruach has got a soul, which is in the neshama. And the neshama has got a soul, which is a yechido, and the yechido has got a soul,
which is that's the highest of all. So that is something that is good to remember. Now, Aristotle, there are different people who are mentioning him in the same shir that I'm dealing with the Der Hashem, with the version of the Sadev. He had an example of it. And he said, if you take the statue of David, Michelangelo's statue, have any of you not seen that statue? Anybody seen that statue? Now, he doesn't give that as an example because Michelangelo wasn't alive in the days of Michelangelo was born almost 2,000 years after Aristotle died. But the example is the same. So he says that one starts with the grammar. I would start even before the grammar. So let us start before the grammar. The particles of dust is the body, and the particles of dust that forms into the granite, that power, that force that keeps the particles of dust together and make it into a rock, that is the soul of it. Then you go a higher degree. The rock is the body now, and that rock is granite, that is the soul. Then Michelangelo begins chiseling away at this granite. And he chisels away with his mallet and his chisel. And as he chisels away, there is a form. Isn't that quite what it is? So now, there is the granite, which is now the body, and the form is now the soul of it. We watch him chiseling away, and we now see that form takes the form of a human being. So now, that form is the body of it, and the human being that we can already discern, that is the soul. We watch him doing it, he's going to be a man or a woman, he turns out to be a man. So now, the human form is the body, and the man is the human being. And that is the soul. And now we watch still further, and it's David. So the man is now the body, and David is the soul. You follow? That's our case. Now that is when we speak about inanimate things. But we go even further than this. Every idea and every thought has got a body and a soul. So it depends, I can give you a thought or an idea. I give you the body. And you get the spirit of it, you get the soul of it. But that soul has also got a soul. And that soul has got a further soul. And so it's especially recognizable in the Torah. And we might have an example or two of that at tonight's year, where a statement in the Torah is the body. And we understand it more deeply, and that is the soul of the body. So a thought has also got a body and a soul. And here we've got the body has got a soul, and the soul has got a soul, and that soul has got a soul, so the soul has got a soul, it's got a soul, it's got a soul. That's how it goes. Right.
Well, in the case of an inanimate object, the rock, you have to have the rock with the body, and the soul, the force that keeps it together, and then we've got that it's got.
Yes, now I tried to avoid that, and I didn't use the expression that Aristotle uses. He doesn't use body and soul. He uses form and content. Those are the words he uses, you see. He uses form and content. There is form and there is content. The form is, it is a human being. The content is, it is a man, not a woman. The form now is that it is a man the content is the same. So he really uses the words form and content, which is better for that purpose. Mm-hmm. For the inanimate object, it's better to use chomer and tzuro. Mm-hmm. And the Zohar also uses that term, chomer and tzuro. So it's better from that point of view, it is better. I thought I would be making it easier for you if I used the same thing. Have you got the idea now? So, two people can understand something. One only gets the form of it, but not the content. Another person gets the content and the form. You know, there are mountains in the east. Everything comes from the east. Appalachians. Have you heard of a little bit? Now, there are people who live up in those mountains. The Appalachian people. They're not the brightest of people. They don't know too much. Now, if you tell an Appalachian that the sun is 95 million miles away from us, he's got the information. So, and you give him an examination, he wants to take a master's degree, and he gets a multiple choice question, and you say, the sun is 2 miles away from the earth, 10 miles away from the earth, 95 million miles from that earth, he puts the tick 95 million miles away. Does he know what 95 million miles is? He can only conceive to 10. And in the night time he can go up to 20 because he takes his shoes off. So that's as far as he can go. But anyway, he gets 100 marks, he gets 100% in his examination. And that is wrong with the multiple choice system. But if you've got to write an essay on the subject, then you can test whether the student knows, gets to the soul of it. If he doesn't, you can test it. But like this is just a month ago. You know, I did a driver's test once. The person who marked the test had a stencil. We got it. But it was a stencil he put over it. And he ticked it off. So I started speaking to him. I wanted to see whether he could read. You know, he couldn't read. I asked him, I said, what does it say here? He couldn't read. But he was the examiner. You follow? So today, for a master's degree, you can get an examiner who doesn't read. So it's not only that the student can't read, it's the examiner who doesn't have to be able to read. That is what we have come down to. So I just thought that it would be better to put it that way, but it's the form and the content of it. Now he goes on to tell us, the Omnom. Now it's, however, Yeshla Neshomore Yono HaZos Mikrit. Now you remember that until these preceding two lines, Derech Hashem spoke only about the Nefesh. And I explain to you in the same way as I speak about the soldiers that are in the Gulf, and they took this town near Kuwait, right on the south. They're marching to take the town. So somebody says to me, was it the soldiers? Yes, it was the soldiers. It wasn't the soldiers. I said, what was it, the tanks? It wasn't the soldiers. They said, who was it? The Marines. You mean the Marine soldier? I don't know what's in it. I thought the Marines were sailors. He's a Marine. I don't know the difference of a Marine and a soldier. But when they speak, I speak about the soldiers who are sending off the torpedoes, what do they call them, from the ships they're sending off.
Torpedoes.
Yes. So they say, the soldiers aren't doing it. I say, I'm sorry, it's the Marines. It's not the Marines, it's the sailors. Now, I don't know the difference. To me, they're all soldiers, you see. So, he just used, until now, he used only the word nefesh. There was the body and the soul, that's all. It was the goof and the nefesh. Now he's dealing, he's already specializing in these things. The Omnom, Geishli Neshva Neshoma. There is to the Neshoma where Yonah Azos, this higher Neshoma, Mikrim Ru'im Lo Kepi In Yono.
There are activities with regard to the Shomo, which belong to the Neshomo. Now he's getting ready to tell us that it is different from the activities of the body. And although she is bound up in the soul, she is attached to the soul, the Neshomo. Now we are speaking not about the Nefesh, not about the Ruach, but about the Neshomo. And although the Neshomo is bound to the body, there is still left to her something of an attachment to that which is absolutely spiritual. So the Neshomo is in a very privileged position. On the one hand, she is attached to the body, and on the other hand, she is attached to spirituality. So now he goes on. Mashe ein kishuro baguf malneya mimeno. But the being attached to the body does not prevent her from having any kind of relationship with spirituality. So although she is attached to the body, the neshoma is attached to the body, it still is, and that doesn't prevent the neshoma from having an association or a relationship with that which is the absolute spiritual. Only, however, a nisho of a nolo be there dover mugosh v'niko v'seichlo adom v'vav shemo. He says, but this now, the shomo is bound to the body, but it is also has a relationship with the spiritual. Now comes the very interesting part, and he says, but what goes on with the Shoma's relationship with the spiritual isn't discerned by the body or by the mind. So there are things going on within us which the body doesn't feel and the mind doesn't know and experience. And I'm making myself clear on that. Now that is a very important thing to know, and we will deal a little bit with that. In psychiatry today, they understand that very much better than they ever understood it before, but not half as well as those who know that they were understanding. But today they understand something about it. How do I know that they don't understand it half as well as they don't understand it? Because of the things they do which are wrong. Just haven't got the full understanding, but they do a tremendous amount of good and things that are right, just because they've got this understanding. Now, Freud had an understanding of this, but a lot of his understanding was wrong. And today, psychiatrists recognize that he's wrong, and he belongs now, there's only a very limited school of Freudians. There are other schools. There's the Jung school, there's the Adler school, and now there is the... from Vienna. Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl has come much nearer to the truth that he has been standing from the Dada than Freud had done. And a lot of Freud's work is discredited today. So, but the important thing is that what goes on in the Neshomo, now we're not speaking about the body, we're not speaking about the Nefesh, we're not speaking about the Ruach, we're speaking about the Neshomo. What goes on in the Neshomo, that isn't discerned by the body, nor is it experienced or understood or felt by the mind. Not necessarily. Only for only my Salamir, but he makes a reservation. There are times when it can. There are times when it can penetrate the mind and the body, but to a limited extent only. And that is what our Chazal says. Although he does not see it, his mazon sees. What is his mazon? So,
Derech Hashem takes him, that is his neshama sees it, although he doesn't see it. And we'll come back to that just now. Shekabor Higio, Ingel, and Nevich, Azoso, and Yonah. This is already reached. This Nevich, or Yonah, this higher soul. But it does not come down to man's mind or into his intellect in a perfect form. But he's got a certain feeling, he's got a feeling about it, but not more than that. That he sometimes, more often than not, he doesn't even have that experience. Now, I'm going to just leave it at that, and then I'm going to explain this to you a little bit further. If you want to ask me questions, you can ask me questions. Yes, Sina?
Well, if we're not conscious of it, then we have no physical power over it. Are we controlled in any way? What's the point of it? Not aware
of it. Well, it works, you see, it works in various ways. For example, I can work on a piece of stone, and then I get it in the Mishnah, and then I get it in the Gemara, and then I begin to understand it more deeply and more deeply. That's as far as I go. Unbeknown to me, my neshama is going to go deeply. Can have some effect on me, might not. Not consciously, but it's there. And on the source of the soul, what an effect it has there. There it has the effect. So, when the body is separated from the soul, there it all is. Now, I'm going to give you examples of it, and I'm going to give you two examples. And these are the examples that I dealt with in Shul at the Shia last Shabbos afternoon. It says in the Torah, if a man steals any object from another person, he's got to pay kefir, he's got to pay dama. That is the punishment. He steals $1,000, he's got to return $1,000, plus another $1,000, to the person from whom he stole. Comes out to be a civil case and not a criminal case. Or rather, it's a criminal case that is dealt with civilly but not criminally. There's no going to prison for that or anything like that. Alright? That is the way we deal with it. If he steals a sheep, he's got to give back the sheep plus another sheep. If he steals an ox, he's got to give back that ox plus another ox. If he steals a tiger, he's got to give back a tiger and go catch another tiger. So he pays for it. He pays his money for the other tiger. That is the law. Yes? Now, what happens if he steals a sheep and he shechts the sheep? He slaughters it. Kosher. And he shechts the sheep, or he sells the sheep to another person, and he's discovered, two witnesses come and say that he stole the sheep, then he's got to pay 4 times as much for the sheep as its original value. We've come to that. What happens if he steals an ox? Then he's got to pay 5 times, and he steals an ox, and he slaughters it, or he sells it, then he's got to pay 5 times as much. Yes?
Does the payment have to be like the amount of the sheep? If he catches it with the sheep,
and he's got to pay double, then he's got to give back the sheep, plus the value of the sheep. Is this too difficult to understand?
No, I was just wondering if the person who's stolen from has a right to request how the one is being paid back.
No. He gives it back as best he can. It might even happen that he hasn't got any money. can't give him back. He hasn't got the money. You can say he stole an ox. And how much do oxes sell for in Southern California? Did you say ox sells for $100? And he checks the ox, so he sells the ox. He's got to pay back $500. He hasn't got $500. So he's got to sell himself as a slave. If you know what a slave is, that's all together. Are you pardon?
Not the kind of
thing. No. There's a Jewish thing called here. He said, the minimum he can sell his for is for 6 years. So let us say he sells it for 6 years, then...
Maximum.
Maximum. Did I say minimum? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, minimum or maximum?
He can sell himself for less.
He can't. No, he can't.
He's got to pay back for 2 years later with me.
He can only sell himself for 6 years. Let us say he sells himself for 6 years and he gets $600. So he takes $600 and he pays $500 for the person, to the person from whom he stole the ox which he eventually slaughtered. Before the witnesses came to give evidence that he had stolen the ox. Now he's got $100 left over. What does he do with these $100? He invests it foolishly in an SNL account. Right? And he gets, for that, he gets 10%. In 5 years' time, or in 4 years' time, he's got already a compound interest. Now, the original 100 which he got more, that was over from the sale, he got 600, and the interest from the SNL, and fortunately takes out his money now before the scandal of the SNL. So he's got 200, and he's worked for 4 years, Now he can take the 200 and give it to the owner, and the owner's got to accept that, and now he's free.
But you said at the end of his 6 years he could do that.
No.
He said
he's on right. He sells himself for 6 years. Yes. He gets 600.
Yes. Can he get the money up front at the beginning?
He gets the money up front. That's why he's called a slave. Very good. That's why he's called a slave. If he wouldn't get the money up front, he would be called a sohir, a hireling. Mm-hmm. But that's why he's called a slave, because he gets paid in advance. So he gets $600.
That's not a slave. I
think
it's really good if
he's
in the
farm,
better than somebody
he has to work. Yes, mm-hmm. But that's why he's called a slave. If he was called a worker doesn't get paid for 6 years in
advance.
Because
he's selling
his labor.
Yeah,
well,
that is labor,
yeah. Doesn't matter. But he's selling. He belongs now to the owner.
That's what he needs to buy something in the himself, the same thing.
He's the
same man. No,
it's different.
They
don't
give it to the same
man. Okay, wait. Thank you. It's sold as an item of work. It's the same idea, right?
But what I know about people from the South, present company strictly excluded, they would never pay a slave $600. They would pay it to the person from whom they bought it.
Right.
But they wouldn't pay it to the slave.
Oh, that's true.
Very different.
Thank you, Rob. I don't understand why he's not getting, I still, I'm irrelevant to the point about why he's getting the money and he's paying it, and then why does he have to still work another 4 years? And now he has $200 and he doesn't have to pay back.
He has gotten, he's paid his labor for 6 years.
Right.
For which he got $600.
Right.
How much has he got to give away?
$500. Right.
He gives away $500. So now he's free from this person. But he's not free from the person to whom he's selling his labor. So he's got to work for him for how many years?
He's giving
us $100. He's giving the person from whom he sold the ox.
Okay, so then why is he paying another
$2?
I don't know.
I don't
know.
I don't understand that.
No, he's not selling himself to the auto money.
Oh,
I'm not understanding.
Just
he's not selling himself to the ox man.
No, he's not getting to the up.
I would never do math.
Let us give him a name. Yeah. Reuven has stolen an ox from Shimon. He takes this ox and Reuven sells it. He sells it to Levi. Two witnesses now come and give evidence to the Bethlehem that Reuven stole an ox from Shimon. Now, Reuven has got to pay. First of all, he's got to return to Shimon the ox. And a penalty also. The law is he's got to pay him 5 times the value of the ox. Now, so how much is Shimon getting? $500. So Reuven has got $500. From where has he got $500?
From the person he's selling himself.
He sold himself and he's... And has he got anything over now?
100.
He's got $100 over.
So he works for, he's got his money, works for 6 years and he pays that.
So he's got $100. Okay. He takes this $100 and he invests it in S&L.
Right.
He gets 12% for it. At the end of 4 years with compound interest, he gets 18%. You know, they were giving anything just to get the money. So they could spend it on whatever they wanted to do. So he gets, he's getting 19%. He's getting it. At the end of 4 years, now he's a slave, he's working. At the end of 4 years, the 100 has become 200. So he goes to the owner and he says, I want to redeem myself. I'm giving you 200. So he's only worked for 4 years. That is the way it works.
He can redeem himself with $200 after 4 years. Oh, I see.
If he gets $600 for selling himself for 6 years, he can't sell himself for more than 6 years. He cannot sell himself for less than 6 years. Mm-hmm. He got $600. Mm-hmm. Now, how much does that work out per year? It works out a hundred a year. But he's got $600. $500 he pays to the ox. How much is he left for? 100. 100 he invests in Columbia S&L. He gets 19% for it. In 4 years' time, by compound interest, this 100 is now he's got 200. So he goes to the S&L and he says, I want to get my 200. They say, well, you want to take it out? Look, you're getting 9%. Leave it in, rather. He says, no, I want it out. They say to him, did you hear anything? No, I'm a slave. What do I hear? I want my money. That's all. He said, you want to take out all the money? He said, take out the average is $10. He said, no, I want to take out all my money. They see they can't do anything with him. He takes out all his money, $200. Now he goes to the owner and he says to the owner, you bought my labor for $600. Do you remember how much that takes out per year? How much per year? $100 a year. Right. He says, I've got 2 years to go. $100 a year, $200. I'm paying you $200. Let me go now. Now we've got the idea.
Let's get a quiz.
So that's all it is.
What happens with the S&L?
They were under.
He goes to shoot an adventure game of and if he would have come 2 days later, he would have been a slave for another 2 years. Yes?
When a person decides they want to stay in place because of the wife and the children or whatever,
do they get their $100 a year
after that?
No.
Sort of like a member of the family
there after work. Whatever it is, but now he gets nothing. Now he will stay. And we don't like it.
I know.
But he does. All right. Now, this is get back to our subject. So if he steals an ox, he's got to pay, and he's now, he sold the ox, or he slaughtered it, he's got to pay 500 to the oxman, right? What happens if he sold it a sheep? A sheep, and he does exactly the same time, he's got to pay four times the amount. How much is a sheep? $30. So now he's got to pay $120, four times $30, to the sheep man. Right? So he pays $120 to the sheep man. Right. Now what worries us is, why should it be different to the sheep man than it is to the ox man?
Because the sheep, if the person who steals the sheep has to put them over his shoulder, and it's embarrassing, his dignity.
Yeah. Now we're coming to that. So, says Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, what is the difference? And this the Gemara discusses. And this is the Torah Shebal Peh. When Hashem gave the Torah to Moshe, he told him this, and before Moshe had a chance to say, but what's the difference? Before he had a chance to even ask the question, Hashem explained it to him. There's a difference between the two thieves. When a person steals an ox, he goes and takes the ox, and he either puts a rope around his neck, a little bit loosely around his neck, and makes a knot there, a leaf knot, and he pulls the end. And then you know that when you put the ox goes with him. Or the ox goes in front of him, he takes a stick, and he just gives him a tap. And the ox goes, and the ox wants to go to the right, and he gives him a tap there, and the ox goes to the left, he's got the ox. A sheep, you can't do that. A sheep has got to carry the sheep. Puts it over his neck, and he carries it, and he walks down the street. The dignity, the indignity of it, what he suffers, the indignity of it, that has got to be taken up. So that's also paying something he suffers. So because of the indignity, he only pays four times as much, not five times as much.
But this man doesn't have the money to pay for this.
With the same procedure.
So that he only is worth than $130.
He's only?
Worth
$130. No, he sells his labor. He is bought for as much as he's worth. I mean, if the man is a water carrier, if he's a water carrier, he gets very little. But if he is a brain surgeon, he'll get a tremendous amount of money. I mean, or a PCA, is that what they call them? Or he's a CPA. He gets a lot of money. Or he's a lawyer. He's still more money. It depends what he is. He gets paid what he's worth. Yes.
Well, why 6 years?
That is the minimum it can be.
But why?
If it will be 3 years, he would have asked for 3 years.
But is it going to be
It does because, let us say, if he's in the third year, he's got to work, and then he goes free in any case. Yes. He cannot, you see, it can work out that he sells it for less. Not because he can't, but he can't determine. Every 7th year, every Yelver, he won't go out on the 7th year. The Yelver, every 50th year, the slave goes out free automatically. But anyway, so then he goes out. But those are different things. Let us not go into it. That's already grade 3. That's grade 1. He's still in kindergarten. Okay. Yes.
Well, yes, sir. I can't help you. Women were they the same kinds of slaves? If they did a misdemeanor or something like that?
Yes, the woman is the same
and
thing.
And she would have sold her labor?
That's
or,
right.
Or
that's
were they really mostly captives?
No. They were not captives. And you think because there's a difference between a Canaanite slave and a Jewish slave. We are speaking about a Jewish slave. And if a Jewish woman steals and she's got to pay back double or whatever she steals, or four times or five times, the same will apply and the same procedure.
And her father or husband doesn't
redeem her? No, that's another thing. That is if the father sells her before she's 12 years old. That's another law altogether. Don't worry about that.
Well, it's just that these men slaves are given wives sometimes, and then they can walk off and leave them.
The owner's got a right to give the slave a wife. But he's got the right to give a slave a wife only if he has a wife at home. The owner, the slave has got a wife at home. He can get that. But another thing is, the owner, when he buys the slave, has also got to support the wife and the children during these 6 years. He pays him $600, but he takes everything into consideration. He's got a wife, I've got to support the wife, I've got to support the children. But he can give him a wife, and the children that they have are slaves. And they belong to the owner. It's a different law. But we don't want him to do that anyway, whatever it is. So that is the law, that is the way it works. But we haven't come to the point that I have to make with you. And that is, what is the difference between the oxman and the sheepman? Why did the oxman get 5 times as much and the sheepman get 4 times as much? And the reason is that he suffers an indignity. Okay. What kind of indignity does he suffer? What kind of a creature is this? What kind of a man is this? He goes down the street and all. You know, if you go onto the boardwalk in San Francisco, or you go on the boardwalk in the type of person that you see, but any type of shape, he goes without the shirt, he goes without the socks and shoes, but just he's got something down his middle or something. And the way he walks, and the way he talks, and the way he chooses his lunch when he's walking down there. What sense of shame is that? What indignity does he feel? He doesn't feel it. He's good. His body feels no indignity. His nefesh feels no indignity. His ruach feels no indignity. He's the shom first. He says, Omnom ein minshof a neuber bizedover murkosh, the nikol besaychel of udum makshavte. He says, but what happens to the neshomo, the body doesn't discern it, and the mind doesn't feel it or know anything about it. He doesn't know, the thief doesn't know anything about it. But his neshomo knows, his neshomo feels. That is what he's saying. Now look at the English, he does it so well, he translates it so well. Aryeh Kaplan translates it so well. He says, the spiritual associations of the soul, that is neshoma, however, only has the barest minimal effect on the human mind and its thoughts. Only the barest of effect. Our sages that teach us, even though a person does not see something, his destiny sees it. It means his neshoma feels it, there is something there. What this means is that this person's divine soul has access to certain information, but the complete picture is not transmitted to the thoughts and intellect. The individual therefore experiences no more than the slightest impression. But he's got to be a person. If he's a sensitive person, he'll experience something of the indignity. But if he isn't a sensitive person, he experiences nothing at all. If he's a sensitive person, it goes right from the top, he takes it, from the Yechido to the Chaya, from the Chaya to the Neshomo, and if he's a sensitive person, it goes from the Neshomo, it will still go to the Ruach. Don't forget that they are connected. It will still go to the Ruach. And from the Ruach, it will go to the Nefesh. The Nefesh feels something. That even the core spirit feels something. That he can feel. That is if he's a sensitive person. But if he isn't a sensitive person, that is the Shoma feels it. Is the Shoma knows about. And that is what he says. And with that, it will help you to understand what he is saying about the difference of these different stages and how what the Neshoma feels and knows, it makes the body and the Nefesh and the Ruach don't know anything now. Except in rare cases, depends how sensitive the person is, it can go deeper down. Now, a sense of shame is a very wonderful thing to have. And we say that if we meet somebody who purports to be a Jew and hasn't got a sense of shame, you've got the right to question whether he's really a Jew. There's nothing wrong there. He's not really a Jew. So a sense of shame is a very important thing. Yeah, one of the things where the psychiatrists go wrong, they do everything they can that a person shouldn't have a sense of shame. And this is a very precious thing to have, a sense of shame. Precious. So when a person has got a sharpness, they take away the sharp edge and make it blunt. Can't feel anything at all. Does a great disservice. So the nefesh, they say, that shouldn't feel it. From the nefesh, it goes in the reverse order now. From the nefesh, it goes to the neshama, not to feel anything. It's got to be chal something. So Hashem gives it. You know, you remember when that woman comes to Elisha. She's a wonderful woman. The husband is there. The creditors want to take the children away, to work for them, to pay off the debt. She hasn't got anything. So Elisha says, haven't you got anything at all? She says, nothing. He says, you need to tell me that in your house you've got nothing at all. Just think. She says, I've got a little bit of oil. He said, you've got a little bit of oil? Wonderful. Go and borrow from your neighbors as many containers as you can get. And he starts pouring the oil and it doesn't stop. But if there wasn't that little bit to stop, and if it was, there wasn't a container to pour, you couldn't have done anything. So he needed the little bit to stop, and he needed a container to pour it in. Person has an experience. But there isn't a container for him to sense that experience. If he deserves it, he gets that sale and then stays with it. Unless he really needs it, that can happen. And I'm making myself clear. That happens to a human being. And that is how we understand it. Yes, ma'am.
Are these four survivors of high parts, is that a non-human being?
Exactly.
Jewish people are all human, and there's an additional soul that is given to Jews, for instance.
Well, take it this way, there's an additional soul that is given to different, to different people. There are people that are on a certain level that have got a soul.
Okay, so this is just a basic that all
human
beings
have? I just think you'll get a human being that will suffer from a remark that somebody has made to him, and you'll get the same human being that, and you'll get a different human being, the same remark you've got no reaction at all to. You've got a person who makes that remark, couldn't care less. The person's made that remark and he's sorry for it afterwards. So this all belongs to the soul. Now, there are two things. There is a part of the soul, and then there is the level of the soul. The same soul has got so many different levels. So sometimes a level, that level departs, but sometimes that whole part of the soul. But I think there's very much more. He's just given categories here, because there's the covet he hasn't mentioned yet. Yeah, so there are other things that he hasn't
this
mentioned.
This has to do with humanity, not with...
It's got to do with humanity, but there again, in the same way, as two people don't experience the thing the same way, there are things that Jews, like this, like lamb, there are things that the Jew can experience to him it's like the light of the sun. To another person, it's the light of a candle. That can happen. But not to every Jew it's like that.
Oh.
Right. You know, my wife always feels embarrassed when I sometimes ask people, I say, are you Jewish? You know? And the strange thing is how often I get the answer of, well, there is some Jewish blood, or something like that. You didn't get to the body in that one. And what do you say? You're just a professor, wasn't you? Just thank you. And she says, happy Pesach. I said, what's your name? She says, Bonnie. I said, Bonnie, who? She gives me a name, couldn't be more gorgeous than that. I said, you know, where did you have from Pesach? She said, well, my maiden name was Shapira. And then I find out that her grandfather was a lady. Once we were traveling on board ship, it was a Mrs. Hoffman there. Her husband had had many trading with us, only 25 people. They were boys, 25 people had many trading with us. And then she was a sister of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Yes. So one day we were standing, and I said, Mrs. Hoffman, have you got any Jewish blood in you? Well, you know, she was a wasp amongst wasps. Well, did she jump? And my wife was saying that. Off to you. How could you see that? I said, well, there you are. She's got Jewish blood in her. How do you know? She said she had it. If she hadn't, she wouldn't have jumped so high. I'm quite certain that she had Jewish blood. The whole demeanor and everything, the way they carried on. And what drew them to us? Friday night, we made Kiddush in the dance room. Remember, that is the children, that is what drew them to us. The next day, they came to speak to us. So, you know, you can't tell with these things. This has got Jewish blood in them, you just can't.
Whereas the rabbi speaking, I was remembering when I first came to California, and it was a very different culture than where I came from. And I remember looking for a Jewish doctor, and I found what I thought was a Jewish doctor. And I went, and this is a California doctor. My feeling was that a lot of those who I would have just known instinctively in New England, the Jewish, I haven't got a clue. And these are Jews, but they're not.
You can lose it. I firmly believe it's gone. In the same way as we believe a person to lose the image of God which is not created. Amalek lost the image of God. And in spite of the protesters in America, I don't know whether Saddam Hussein still got the image of us, but I don't know what it goes. Hitler certainly lost it. So these things can be lost, of course. But we lost. Different degrees can come and they can come. Yes?
But when we're reading that the neshama can come in and can go out, and I would. I was wondering if certainly from people's behavior when there's damage to the neshama, if this accounts for some of that behavior.
Yes, of course, oh yes, very much so. It disappears and works both ways. It is the cause of the disappearance, and the disappearance is the cause of a deteriorating low behavior of the person on that particular level. Oh yes, I've had the reverse experience with the doctor. Where the doctor was practicing and he went to another town. And he realized that over the years he had been in touch with people that lived Torah lives and they had influenced his own approach to medicine. And when he went away, he came to another place, he saw that he just didn't exist. And he was sort of confronted with it, got quite a shock, he wasn't aware of it before. So this you find. All right. Now, we'll call it a day there. This has proved to be an important chapter because it really just wraps up what has taken place in the first two parts. We haven't got very much to go. We've only got two more pages to bring us not only to the end of the chapter, but to the end of part two. And part three is altogether different. Now, I'm sorry, we are. Yes, we just started part three. I'm sorry, yes. Part three. But yeah, because part three is already different in that we are dealing essentially now with the soul of the human being.
and we've still got a little bit more confusion there. And then we come onto the whole subject of prophecy and things like that. Any questions you can still ask if you've still got a few minutes. Yes. Certainly.
If there are souls that come and go, as you build up your basis in your study, and as a man, youngster going to school and then to yeshiva, and then goes on to a higher level of yeshiva, as a woman would do more mitzvahs and do her duty, does that entail more souls? Do they acquire more of these souls that come and go?
You see, I think really what he means is it's the part of the soul, you see, it's not the whole soul.
In other words, it's an awakening of a certain part
of a soul that is
with you constantly.
And that a person can lose. And when he loses it, there's such experiences that he doesn't experience anymore. Or he's never had it. But he's got experience of it. It's very much like Elisha with the woman. Have you got anything at all? Yes, I've got oil. Once you've got oil, you've got something. But it's got to be there. There must be a container. So it can contain it all, you see, it can hold it. So, that depends. It comes, it goes, persons on a higher level, persons on a lower level, all this happens in the life of a person.
What they call a split personality.
That's a difference.
It would be that.
That's a difference. The personality is an aberration, unfortunately. It's a terrible thing. The wonderful thing is that today they've got their ways of being in this world. This year, only a few years ago, there was nothing they could do about it. Today, there are ways to do so for the years. It's an illness. The aberration is an illness. The wonderful thing is they could do that in the past. You've got a question.
When a person is just a shadow, he's surrounded by people who don't. The person
who keeps to the Shomer Seder, he gives to the Shomer Seder, but it can happen that it's weakened. It's weakened by its surroundings. That can be. If you are on Shabbos, you deal with the person who laughs at the whole idea of Shabbos. He says, how foolish of the Jews to lose a tenth of their life by not doing anything. Have you ever heard people saying that? The passage is said in that 1900 years ago, we laughed at the Jews. So you've got that type of idea, of course. So we have to be very careful at all times to mix in the best of good company. And if you can't mix in the best of good company, you mix in good company. And if you can't mix in good company, there's some people that got to work, and I get in China from all over the country. I get in China, the man is working, and he's got to live with his manager, or his what we call the supervisor. Since he uses the most terrible language, what does he do? He can't be a conflict. What does he do? How does he handle this? So you can't, but you have to build for yourself an ivory tower. And you live in the ivory tower, and all you can be. Of course it's difficult, but you've got those things. Yes, baby?
You said they're referring to this part of the soul that can go. You said it's not
detectable
anymore.
It might not be detectable in any way.
Can't you tell being around the person, can you tell person has more of these parts that are awakened?
Yes, we can. But there are those things which we can feel and which is we are conscious of. But those are only a very small number of them. There's so many that we can't feel and we're not even conscious of it. That is the ones that we're hearing referring to. We're not even aware of it, we're not conscious of it, we can't feel it, makes no difference to us. At least we think it doesn't make any difference to us. But deep down, it makes a difference.
Okay.
Hmm?
How so? How can I do this?
you might do something. Because something is very, very deep down. You might not do something because of that. When I was a young man, I was very, very proud of him. He was asked to do something. It wasn't wrong. And he just said, I don't do that sort of thing. And he stood to gain a lot. He said, I don't do that sort of thing. Young person. But where did that come? We are deep down the other. Yeah, maybe an example of the man who was being paralyzed. Oh, deep down there was something that was stirring, and there was something that caused that. Deep down he had a feeling, helping people, but he felt that he let himself down there. Could it happen to many other people who made no impression at all? You know, yeah. Are you understanding it better?
I don't understand.
You find all this so difficult.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everything
is not difficult. Yeah, that's so difficult. If you want to give it your feet, I can give you everything. I don't think it's so difficult. All right, ladies.